And that same spirit has prevailed even through to today. The Jews didn't like the way the Christians were doing. Their sacrifice was according to what God wanted, and the Jews wasn't. And so they tried to eradicate the church. Get rid of them. Get rid of the competition. And all through time then, God has told man to worship and told him how to worship. In the time of Moses, there were some very strict and long and tedious instructions about how to worship. While a vast part of the Old Testament is filled with how man is to worship God. How to construct the tabernacle with the holy place and the most holy place and the outer court and all of these items that were to be in here and how each thing was to be used. One time, two of the priests, Nadab and Abihu, were to offer fire, and they offered a strange fire. And so they were struck down dead. Now, to our finite and human mind, it might seem like a very picayune thing with God to be so particular. God wanted fire. They gave him fire. But it wasn't the kind of fire God wanted. You know, we think fire is fire. So what? But not in the eyes of God. Strange fire is what they offered. And so they were struck down dead. And on, the Ark of the Covenant, you remember, one time it was stolen by another nation of people. I believe it was the tribe of Ai. And they kept it for some 25 years. And finally, David got the Ark back. And according to the instructions of God, no man was to touch this Ark. They ran these wooden poles through there, and the priest carried it by the four corners of these poles. They carried it, and nobody touched the Ark. Well, as they were going along on the cart, and the ark came to this rough place called a threshing ground, and the cart began to sway and bump, and it looked like it was going to fall off, a man named Uzzah reached up to steady it. And when he did, he touched the ark, and he shouldn't have. It violated God's rule, and so he was struck down dead. God has rules for the way we're to worship him. And so it is today in the church. You think he just left us with, says, okay, worship me. We don't even know what to do, how to do, or we can just do any way we please. Could we build an idol? Could we make the sign of the cross and worship to him? Could we just go out and sit in a boat on the lake and say, well, I'm worshiping God. I'm closer to nature than those people sitting up there in a church are. Has he left it just any way we want to do? Or has he given us some instructions as to how to worship and when to worship? What to do? Well, we know that God has given us instruction. We know that we are to pray and sing. We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our heart to the Lord. We know that we are to commune. He told us how to do this, specifically how to do it. How that he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to them and told them to drink all of it. Or all for all of them to drink of it. And how that the same was with the bread. And how that we're to teach. We have definite instructions for how to teach. Let's speak one at a time so that all may learn and all may be comforted. And if another has something to say, let the first hold his peace. So that we don't have more than one speaking at a time. But yet everything that everybody says is heard by everybody. So we worship God. We worship God in the Spirit. Now we worship Him with our spirit, with our mind, with that higher element of man that is only revived, only brought to life by the Word of God. We have a body, and we have a mind, and we have a spirit. Now this spirit in man is dead. It is in a lifeless, dormant stage until it's revived by the Word of God. And until that spirit of man is revived, is brought to life, is quickened, this natural man, the man in his natural state, is unable to learn about God's will. He can't conceive of, he can't comprehend the things the Bible would teach. So we worship God in the Spirit. That part that's already been made alive in man that the natural man doesn't have. So that the natural man could come into the congregation and observe and try to participate in the worship, and he wouldn't get anything out of it, really, because it's not something that he knows how to participate in. We don't worship God just in form, just go through emotion, just go through some kind of a puppet-like movement. That's not the way we worship God. We worship Him in the Spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Our joy then, like he says up in the first verse, our joy is going to be found in the things of Christ. In things that are in harmony with and compatible with and that promote Christianity. We'd rather be out teaching the Bible someplace than being entertained by worldly entertainment. We'd rather be spending our time studying than spending our time learning the ways of the world. Because we rejoice in Christ Jesus. It's not a drudgery to us. It's not something we dread or have to be prodded into or feel like we're required to do. We rejoice in it. We want to do it. We seek after it. And thirdly, we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. And this truly sets us apart from the rest of the world. For the rest of the world has all confidence in the flesh, in their human ability to do things, in their treasures that they might possess, in the things that they may do in this life to get honor and glory and to have man pay homage to them. These are the things that they have confidence in. But these things will pale into nothingness. They'll be so insignificant as to not even exist when it comes time for us to die, and when it comes time for us to stand before the judgment day, the judgment bar, these fleshly things, these earthly accomplishments, these treasures of this life, the abundance of the things which we possess, will be as nothing. I think this is an all-sweeping statement when he says, "And have no confidence in the flesh." That is, the thing that we would trust last, the thing that we would be willing to stake our souls upon the least of all, would be the things in this flesh. We've got to have something else as Christians. We've got to have something more substantial, something that we can sink our teeth into, if you please, something that we can grab a hold of like an anchor to our soul that goes to that which is within the veil, which is heaven itself, not things of the flesh. And as we get older and look around, we see how these things of the flesh really are nothing we can put confidence into. You name it, and I'll show you can put no confidence in it. Some of the most wealthy people ever have died as paupers, have died in debt. Some of those who've had the highest amount of power, political power, military power, have lost it all. And we can name some great, very great figures that have lived during our lifetime. One of the greatest men, for example, of power in England was Winston Churchill. And in the later years, he lost the election to Parliament. Voted out. One of the most triumphant presidents this country ever had was Richard Nixon. When he went into office, he went in with a mandate from the people that nobody else had ever had that I know of. He really had a victory. He really had a political victory. But look what has happened. So you can't put confidence in that kind of things in the flesh. How about our jobs? There can be no confidence in our jobs. Because you can have a good job today and not have that job tomorrow. Anything can happen to take your job away. Or your health can be taken away so that you're not able to perform your job. We see people all the time young people, healthy, vigorous, and wanting and willing to work, who have such physical catastrophes happen to their bodies that you can't imagine that this could happen to someone. No confidence in the flesh. How about our own little private philosophies of life? Well, these two we can place no confidence in. So when he says no confidence in the flesh, he's talking about our placing every confidence in those things which are in Christ and in after the Spirit. I'd like to turn back here to Luke and briefly review Jesus' statement. About the rich man. See, I need to look here just a minute to find it.